Ja. Yeah. So, welcome to Love Heals Cancer and Zenonco.io. I'm Astha from Zenonco.io. This is our Cancer Healing Journey talk where we invite speakers who have gone through cancer, maybe as a patient, caregiver, or survivor. These CHAs are very close to our hearts because many patients tell us that when we listen to other people's journeys, it inspires us. It helps boost their confidence and gives them hope that if others have been able to successfully beat the disease, then why can't they? So thank you very much for joining us for today's CHA talks. And so could you introduce yourself and tell us how it all began?
Yeah, my name's Donya Youssef, and my journey has started when my little baby, she was 18 months old, and I got diagnosed with breast cancer, two tumors in my breast and a tumor in my lymph nodes under my armpit. So I was obviously fit, healthy. I was tired, but I had two children and under five and was running a company. So I was busy, busy. I went for some blood tests. All the blood tests came back perfect. So I thought, because I was very tired. And yeah, literally I went out for a night out. The next morning when I woke up, I felt this lump under my armpit. I didn't feel any in the breast. And so the lump was, it was really quite big, but it was obviously swollen lymph node. And then I went to the GP on the Monday morning, who had confirmed that there was actually lumps in the breast as well. But it just felt like bone. It was like not circular lump, it was quite irregular and long. So they did an urgent referral, did the mammograms, and they picked up on the mammograms that there were some abnormalities. And then they literally just had to, they basically did the biopsies there and then. So I had biopsies on the underarm and in the breasts. And the results came back pretty quick and they confirmed it was cancer. Obviously, it was totally and utterly heart-wrenching because I had two very young kids and I just felt like I was going to die. That was it. So I kind of prepared for my death and I just, it was a huge worry. I mean, then when I asked them what stage and grade it was stage two, grade two. So I thought, oh, great, that's actually not so bad. At least it's not sort of terminal as such. So I was really pleased with that. And then I thought, okay, they can just operate and take it out, but it wasn't quite as straightforward as that. So they had to start the chemo because obviously they were concerned that some of the cells from the lymph nodes could have traveled to the body. So they started the chemo first, which the first chemo was fine. I was absolutely fine. Second chemo, not so fine. And then it progressively did get worse. But your immune system is pretty battered. I was on infections, and I got sepsis twice. So it's, looking back, it was a lot, but you get through it. There was numerous ambulance trips. I got blood clots, which is obviously quite common with treatment. I had to wear a port, obviously because your veins get quite battered. I had a double mastectomy. I had my lymph nodes removed because there was still cancer in the lymph nodes after 6 months of intensive chemo. And they realized halfway through the chemo that I was a BRCA2. So I was high risk of other cancers. So when I turned 40, so I was diagnosed at 39, I went into full remission. I had a double mastectomy and a DF flap reconstruction, which was great because I've now got a flat tummy. And it was all just appointments. So you were very, very consumed and very, very busy. But I think yeah, the hardest thing, it really plays on your mental strength rather than your physical as such. And it's after you've gone into remission, it's very, very difficult to, you're so consumed and so busy with the hospital appointments, you're kind of left on your own a bit. And I think that's when it starts sinking in, and realizing actually, wow. But then it gives you like an accelerated thirst for life, and you realize how precious life is and how precious humans are, and you adapt a completely different mindset. I had to have my ovaries and fallopian tubes removed when I turned 40. So I didn't want any more children. I had two and I was quite happy, but then that impacted me because that choice was taken away from me. So I think a lot of things, you know, your femininity is stripped, you know, your hair goes, you put on weight, which I didn't think was the case because they give you the steroids. So I put on 3 stones, which wasn't great. And it was a bit of a blur, but I had to channel my energy into something positive and an outlet, basically, which I hugely advise to people. So the outlet was writing, and I started writing books. I wrote my first book, Monster and Mummy, which was to help educate other parents on how to communicate a cancer diagnosis, especially to little ones who don't understand, you know, it too. That became an award-winning bestseller. And that then gave me the scope to write other books and children's series, and then went into film. So everything kind of, went 100 miles an hour after that. So I went from running a very busy acting agency. So I was kind of in that field. But then it developed and I wanted to see what the other side, and I had no fear. I faced death on quite a few occasions, and I just got to the point where actually, you know, life, I've got to the worst stage. I've been on the resuscitation ward, and, you know, there was a lot of scary moments. You know, one moment I'd be living sort of hour to hour. I've had hemorrhages where my organs started to fail, blood transfusions. I mean, yeah, the list goes on. But I'm out the other end now. My children are great. Obviously, you know, with any cancer patient, it's, you know, once you're in remission, it's not like, well, hey, great, because you're still trying to process it all. And, you know, you always have this inside feeling, is the cancer going to come back? Obviously with the mutated gene as well, you know, obviously high risk. And I had a HER2 positive, which is more of the aggressive type of cancer. So with all of that, you know, your mind is constantly thinking. You become quite anxious about any new lumps, or I guess you become a lot more body aware. But that eases over time, you know, so it's just a process. I think the main thing is finding an outlet. And I think that hugely helped me, you know, keep your vibrations high, and just enjoy life, you know, because at the end of the day, none of our days are guaranteed. So, you know, we could be worried about the cancer coming back, and actually we don't know this information. But, you know, we have to be aware of our bodies and aware of any changes. And obviously go to the doctors, you know, don't be afraid to go to the GP, because actually, you know, you could detect things early and save your life. So thankfully, I'm still here, and I aim to be here for many years to come. So yeah, it's just keeping that positive mindset and finding channels of various, maybe it's sport or reading or writing, but something to take your mind off it and avoid Google like the plague, because, you know, yeah, that's just probably the worst thing. So yeah, I think, yeah, there's been a lot on my journey, but also a lot of positive things on my journey. So I always take things, and there's always a positive in every situation, how horrendous things can be, you know, that there is always a positive, and it's just finding that and just keeping focused and keep around calm people, keep your peace, and, you know, go and live, go enjoy holidays, and, you know, have fun as much as you can.
Right, like you covered your entire journey, like all the points that I was about to ask. So it was really very beautiful and inspirational. Yeah. Oh. So I had a question that did you have any pre-existing comorbidities or, you know, any family history in cancer?
So my mother has the BRCA2 gene, which she only realized through my treatment. My younger sister has the BRCA2 gene. My younger brother has the BRCA2 gene. My grandma died at 50 of breast cancer, and it went to her bones, but she didn't want to take chemo. She wanted to go all natural. But the tumors were like growing out of her breast in the end, and, you know, she died. Her mother died at 36 of breast cancer, which went to the bones as well. My uncle died at 26 of stomach cancer. My other uncle's got the BRCA gene. So there is a lot of cancer in my family, unfortunately. So I got blessed with the cancer gene. But actually, you know, now I know, and now you can find out, it's actually really beneficial because you get scanned more, you know, so they can detect things quicker, which is really, really important.
Yeah, right. When you were going through your cancer treatment, so like, how did it affect your professional life and your social life? Like, how did you manage it?
I think because you go every 3 weeks, after the first week, you kind of bounce back and you can do normal things. Social life, I still try to go out with my friends. My friends used to come to the chemo ward, but, you know, I had to be careful because I would pick up infections. So I didn't really go out that much, and just kept away from germs and people as much as I could, really, to be fair. Just whilst I got through that 6 months of chemo. I mean, most of the time I was spent in hospital. So I didn't get to sort of go out and party. My last chemo, I did go out and party. And and I'm just pleased I did. But yeah, it's a long hill. You've got to see it more as a marathon rather than a sprint. And just take the good with the bad, and each day is different, and you will get through it, and just be aware of your body and yourself, and just eat healthy, exercise, and just keep stress at an absolute minimal.
Yeah, that's great. What were the things that helped you throughout this journey?
I think my children, they were like my crutches, because obviously there was a couple of times where my heart went into failure. So the ambulance came, but I was fitting in the ambulance. They strapped me down. I could hear everything, but I couldn't speak. I couldn't get any words out. And my kids, seeing them, like, they were like asking the ambulance guys, is mummy going to be all right? And it was just so hard because I couldn't speak. And it was, yeah, heartbreaking, but I just had their image of me all the time. And they were my fight, really, because I didn't want to leave them behind. And it's been an emotional roller coaster. I think my kids were my little inspirations, you know, they really did help me, and they really, like, yeah, they gave me the fight to continue, to be fair.
Yeah. I also had one more question, like, you know, what were the major lifestyle changes that you, incorporated during and after your cancer treatment?
I cut out all sugar, cakes, stuff which wasn't good for me. And I did adapt my diet completely. I've kept the weight off. So I just have the one meal a day and just drink fluids throughout the day. Your body's pretty wiped out after the chemo. So you are, you know, your body's not as functioning. You are getting other symptoms as well. I'm constantly in and out of hospitals now, to be fair. I'm it's like a second home to me now, so it's very familiar and I don't really get worried as such. But I think the strongest other thing which got me through was reaching out for support. So I did a lot online. I shared my stories, and I obviously launched a publishing company to support other cancer patients so that they could share their stories. And I think it's that real kind of feeling of getting it out, your story, whether it's on pen, whether it's vocally, whatever way you want to do it, because it really did help me. There's a lot of other private groups as well where there's lots of other sufferers, and they were really good, you know, because some were a lot worse than me, some were obviously, you know, a lot better. So you kind of had that, you know, the range, shall we say, which was, it was good to see. And everyone had the same kind of feelings, because sometimes it's really hard to relate to people who haven't been through cancer. They just don't understand, or understand the anxiety which comes with it, or the panic or the worry, or, you know, it just puts you in another space. So I think it's just channeling that energy into something, so it's just distracting your mind, like with a toddler, you know, they start playing up, you try and distract them. So it's just forcing and retraining your brain on that. So reading a lot of self-help books helps. Meditation, just going for walks. I used to do a lot of walks in the forest, which was lovely. Just keeping calm, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself, even though I'm not really one to talk about that, because I am a bit of a workaholic. But from my experience, just, you know, just take it easy, enjoy life, and actually do the things what are important and make you happy.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure this would help so many cancer patients. Like, I was getting a lot of positive vibes and so many, you know, things to understand and learn. Yeah. So, what would be your message to cancer patients and caregivers?
I would say try your hardest not to panic when you get a cancer diagnosis. That was the worst stage of the whole treatment. It was that initial panic, because you're waiting and waiting for results, and, you know, things are very vague and things change and life changes. But just go with the flow, just go with it. Don't put too much pressure on the future and just take each day as it comes. You know, we don't know whether we get a breakthrough with cancer treatments, next week, next year, 10 years time. But just keep the hope, keep the faith, and you will get through it, you know. And I think, yeah, it's the main issue of, yeah, just like I said, just keeping as calm and you know, you're not initially going to die when they diagnose you. I thought I was going the first week. You know, cancer can take a while to grow. You know, my tumors, I had no idea, had taken 3 years to grow. And I was breastfeeding my children and I had no idea. So I think don't panic and think, oh my God, we've got to get out immediately. Because actually, you know, we have got a bit of time and, you know, the doctors are on it and they're not going to leave something if it's obviously critical that you need care that moment. So just breathe, just chill out. Don't listen to too many people or too many, you know, I think I had quite a lot of people telling me to go down the herbal route, but I would be dead by now if I did that. So listen, you know, it's great to have that as a complementary, but yeah, you know, your cancers, the oncologists know what they're talking about. They deal with this. They've studied this for many, many years. And yeah, obviously taking anything as well is great, but I think my head was twisted at the beginning because everyone was saying, don't take the chemo. So I was very scared. But if I hadn't have taken the chemo, like my grandma, I would have died. She went the natural way. It didn't save her. So yeah, I think, you know, find your outlets, reach out for support, talk to people, don't hide away, and just keep that hope.
Yeah, right. I have just last one question from you that like, if you have to sum up your journey in one sentence, then what would that be?
A roller coaster. Yes, I think that has got to be the biggest one. Mm.
Okay, so a roller coaster, definitely. Yeah. So like, it was nice hearing your journey, and thank you so much for sharing your journey with us, and it was really inspirational, and I'm sure that this would help so many cancer patients and caregivers in their journeys, and the way you explained everything, it was just amazing. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, take care. Okay,
thank you. Okay.